All right. I remember this week, as I was starting to put together this sermon, why I haven't done this 31 days of Proverbs, 31 chapters and 31 days in many, many years. Proverbs, for a pastor, is hard to preach. And it's not because there's a lack of things to preach about. It actually is the complete opposite. There's too much to preach about. You know, as I'm reading through chapter one, I'm like, oh yeah, that's good. That's what I want to preach on. And then I get to chapter two and I'm like, no, that's what I want to say. And then chapter three, oh, that's it. And then you get to chapter four and you're like, I don't know what to do. Like, there's too much, right? There's like, it's like when you go to the buffet and there's all of this great stuff there. And you're like, man, what am I going to put on my plate? What am I going to concentrate on? And for me, that's the book of Proverbs. You can go through every single chapter, verse by verse, and there is something there. There's what we need for our appetite of life. And so, this morning and all the Sunday mornings for the next several weeks, as we kind of do what we're going to do here and walk through the book of Proverbs together, hopefully you guys read in the email we explained last week, we're just encouraging you guys to read a chapter a day. Obviously, today's October 4th, so you're going to read the fourth chapter of Proverbs. Tomorrow's the fifth, you'll read the fifth chapter, and so on. And so what Timmy and I will do, we'll come in here on Sundays and kind of maybe pull out a story or pull out something that we've read in the week prior and kind of do a summary or recap or something that we can kind of dive into a little bit deeper than maybe just reading it on the surface. And that's what we're going to do this morning. We're going to see kind of where I landed in these first four chapters and kind of go from there. But before we go any farther, I'm going to ask, as always, if you would, to pray for me as I pray for you. Lord, we just come before you this morning. I pray that the wisdom of this book, that the things that, you gave Solomon to give to us, are things that we can grab hold of, are things that we can realize that are truths that need to be applied in our lives. And if for any reason we can sit here this morning and as we read these truths and hear these truths, we recognize that maybe that's not the direction of my life, then I pray, Lord, that we understand that your grace allows us to redirect where we're headed. Lord, I pray you give us wisdom this morning to know where we're at and to know where we need to be. And it's in your holy name we pray. Amen. Many years ago, Andy Stanley wrote this book, and it's one of these books that, for me, I try to go back and read at least once a year and reread it because it was so life-changing for me. It was a game changer. And the name of this book that Andy Stanley wrote was called The Best Question Ever. And it's just a little small book, and there's not a lot to it. But what he pulls out is that in life, often we ask the wrong question. We get to a situation or we get to a decision that we have to make, and what we ask is this good or is this bad? Is this right or is this wrong? And the problem with all of those types of questions is there's a lot of gray areas, and what's right for me may not be right for you. What's good for me may not be good for you. So what he kind of argues in this book, the best question ever is not what's good or bad or what's right or wrong. The best question ever is this. In light of my past experiences, in light of where I've been in my life, the choices I've made, the things that have happened to me, in light of my past experiences, my current situation, where am I at right now, and my future hopes and dreams. So in light of where I've been, where I'm at, and where I want to be, the best question ever is, what's the wise thing to do? What's the wise thing to do? Not what's right or wrong, not what's good or bad. It's in light of my past, what's going on in my past, where am I at right now, and where do I want to be, what is the wise thing to do? When you talk about the Bible, if you asked anybody, even people who weren't Christians, if you said, hey, you know, do you know in the Bible, or you know somewhere where you would kind of label this as wisdom, Proverbs would get 100% of the votes. Because that's what we think of when we think of the book of Proverbs. We think of wisdom. We think of the wise things that Solomon wrote down in this. And it's true. It's exactly what it was meant for. Solomon writing down the wisdom that God gave him. So as you start reading through this book of Proverbs, the first nine chapters essentially just ask the question, What kind of relationship are you going to live in? Are you going to live in a relationship with wisdom, or are you going to live in a relationship with folly? Basically, are you going to be a wise person or a foolish person? That's kind of the summary of the first nine chapters. From chapters 10 through 31, then it tells us, all right, then these are the things you need to do in your life to start applying this wisdom to your day-to-day lives. The way you live in your household, the way you interact in the business world, the way you interact on your campus, the way you interact with your friends, your spouse, your family, all of these things. Everything is covered in the book of Proverbs. So we have to be challenged first in making that decision. Where do we want to go? Do we want to be known as someone who's wise or someone who's foolish? And hopefully we're going to choose the path of the wise. And if we do, then those last 21 chapters deal with essentially, all right, how do we do that? What are the things that we have to do? This book reads a lot like a parent teaching a child. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, you read in kind of that the Jewish culture, what they would do is they would talk about the way they would raise their kids and they would impart wisdom on their children. They would say they would do it at all times. They would do it when they were awake, when they were walking down the road, when they were sitting at the table, when they were working. They were always, Jewish families are always looking for teachable moments to impart this wisdom on their kids. And that's the way this book of Proverbs reads. It reads like a parent just sharing with us this wisdom. That, hey, look, when you're facing this decision, when you get to this crossroads, when you don't know what to do, man, just look at this proverb. Just look at this wisdom that God has for you. And it's in there. From financial decisions to sexuality to marriage to kids to parenting, all of it is in this book of Proverbs. Every single bit of it. What this book is not, though, this book is not go try harder. It's not a bunch of sayings that we say, all right, I'm just going to pull this out and I'm going to go try to do it and I'm going to work as hard as I can to live out this one verse. And then if we fail, we fail. It's not a book about go try harder. It's not a book of pop psychology. It's not a book of fortune cookies. What this is a book like every other book of the Bible. It is a book that points toward Jesus. Because when you read the book of Proverbs, what you hear is echoes of the Garden of Eden. This is the way God wanted the world to be. This is the way that God intended things to look like for people to live. But we know it's not like that. So it points then to this whisper of this coming king. That you know what? God tried to create a world where wisdom was the leader. And we failed. Sin entered the world. Adam and Eve messed up. And it broke our relationship with God. And so what Proverbs does then, it not only says, look, this is the way things should have been, it says, this is the way things will be again. And it points to the gospel and it points to Jesus. It points toward wisdom personified. Everything that we read about in the book of Proverbs, we can read in the gospel in the way that Jesus led his life. So that's what we're going to do for the next few weeks, is we're going to dive into this together as a church, as a family, as a community. So I kind of felt like, you know, as we get into Proverbs, we kind of need to understand a little bit about Solomon. Solomon wasn't just some guy that woke up one morning and decided he was going to write a book of wisdom. He was a guy that was actually born. He was the son of King David and Bathsheba. And if you remember that situation, that was not a healthy situation. This was King David who had an affair with Bathsheba and then in this moment of this affair kind of panicked and had her husband basically sent to the front lines of war where he was killed. So Solomon was a product of an affair and a murder. Now I want to stop right there for just a second. And this isn't part of the sermon, but I want you guys to realize something. What's encouraging about this is that no matter what your past is, no matter what your family situation was like, no matter what mistakes your parents made or your grandparents made, that does not personify who you are. That does not mean that's where your life is headed. This is Solomon, who God says is the wisest man who's ever lived. This is Solomon, who God entrusted to build his temple. He was born out of an affair and out of murder, but God still used him. That should be hopeful for us. Because I think too many times we're like, well, you know what? My parents weren't in church, so maybe I shouldn't be in church, or my parents messed up, and that's just how I'm going to be, or my dad was an alcoholic, so I'll always be an alcoholic, or my mom did this, and so I guess I'll always... No! No! Generational curses do not have to carry over. You can stop it. God shows it right here. He took Solomon. He took something that was born... It took someone who was born out of a tragic situation, and he made something great. And so we learn as we're reading the scriptures in 1 Kings chapter 3, Solomon is sleeping, and he knows he's the next king of Israel, and he's young at this point, and he has this dream, and in this dream, God comes to him and says, Solomon, what do you want? What do you need to be king? You let me know, and I'll let you have it. And in this dream, Solomon told God, God, look, I'm a young man. I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know how I'm going to lead. I don't know. Can you just give me some wisdom? Can you just give me some idea of what I'm supposed to do in my life? God was so impressed with that answer that God said, absolutely. He gave him all the wisdom of the world and all the riches that anybody could ever have. I thought about me and I thought about us. If we were presented with that, if God said, look, I'll give you anything that you need in your life. How many of us, the first thing we would think of would be like wisdom? I mean, we would think about, man, I'm in debt, so God, give me some money so I can get out of debt. Not wisdom, how not to get in debt in the first place, right? I mean, it's that kind of thing. So he asked for wisdom. God said, absolutely, and God gave him wisdom. Then Solomon sat down and said, something needs to be recorded. And we learn from the scriptures that he actually wrote over 3,000 Proverbs. But they kind of took the best of the best, and he put them into this book of Proverbs, which we have in our scriptures. So chapter 1. If you guys were reading on Thursday, October 1st, then you realize that basically chapter 1 began by trying to teach us this is what wisdom is, and this is where wisdom comes from. I mean, it doesn't take long. In verse 7, it says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Now, fear of the Lord is not being scared of God, so I better be wise about this. Fear of the Lord is about this healthy respect. About, man, God is God and I'm not, right? He has the answers and I don't. Like, that's that fear of the Lord. It's that healthy respect for God. That is where wisdom comes from, is realizing that you don't have all the answers. I don't have all the answers. Any book that we read on this earth written by man is not going to have all the answers. All the answers come from God and from God alone. Then chapter 2 kind of transitions into pursuit. You know, what happens when you pursue wisdom? What do you gain by that? And we learn in chapter 2 that pursuit of wisdom brings knowledge, good sense, and insight. In chapter 3, well, if we're pursuing it, how do we acquire it? And it's loaded with all kinds of things. Kind of like Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, right? Trust the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understandings. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. We're taught to trust. We're told to walk. We're told to follow him. We're told to run after him. We're told to listen to his voice. All of these things that if we're pursuing wisdom, this is how we acquire it. And then we get to chapter 4, which is today. And this is kind of where I had a kind of a verse or two jump out at me that, I don't know, it's something I hadn't really thought about before. Chapter 4 begins again with Solomon stressing again the need to acquire wisdom, right? I mean, this is repeated chapter after chapter after chapter in these first four chapters. Solomon's like, "You look, we need wisdom. You need wisdom. You need to go acquire wisdom, and this is how you do it." So again, it's that pressing need for us to acquire this wisdom. But then Solomon starts to talk about the direction of our lives. And he kind of refers back to some things that we see in chapter 1 and chapter 2 and chapter 3. Because in those first few chapters, over and over again, sprinkled in and just kind of lightly mentioned are two paths. There's the path of wisdom and the path of the wicked. So Solomon is talking about these two paths, and as he's talking about this path of wisdom, he's writing things in these first couple of chapters like, look, when you go down this path of wisdom, it will literally add years to your life. We know this because we understand even today in 2020 how vital keeping our stress level is down. You meet somebody that's stressed out all the time, that is just amped up, that is always worried, that's always filled with anxiety and angst, and what's coming next, the sky's always falling, all of these things. They're going to die. They're going to have a heart attack, right? It's going to affect their eating habits. It's going to affect their sleeping habits. It's going to do all of these things in their life, and their life is going to end sooner. But you meet somebody that's at peace, man, it's like they could live forever. And that's what Solomon is saying here, that look, you know, one of the paths, when you walk down the path of wisdom, it will literally add years to your life. He also says, look, your steps will not be hindered. You ever been in one of those situations where you're making decision after decision and it feels like you're just constantly hitting a wall, right? Well, sometimes there's little humps that are there that the enemy puts in front of us that we need to get over. But a lot of times it's because the path we're going down is not the wise path. It may be the right thing, it may be the good thing, or it could be the bad thing, or it could be the evil thing, but we're hitting these walls over and over, and we're not getting down this path because it's not the path of the wise. Solomon says, look, if you're going to walk down the path of wisdom, your steps will not be hindered. You're going to keep moving. There's always going to be this forward progress. It may not be as fast as you want it to be. You may not think it's as productive as you want it to be. But if there's forward progress, then you are going down this path of wisdom. He also says, you're not going to stumble. He talks about we live in this hurried life. And that's what happens a lot of times is sometimes we have to make decisions quick, right? But if we're not walking down that path of wisdom and we have to make a quick decision, we're going to make a decision that ultimately is going to cause us to stumble. Where if we're down that path of wisdom, things happen real quick and we have to make a decision. That decision ultimately is going to end up being the wise thing to do because we're on the right path. Now, Solomon also talks about this path of the wicked, things that happen there. He says, look, this path of the wicked, it is evil. And he says, don't enter it. He says things like avoid it, turn away. He says this path of the wicked leads to sin. And when you get controlled by sin, it will become addictive, and then you will become a slave to that sin. He warns us that going down the path of the wicked can also damage our relationships. It can damage our relationships with God, it damages our relationships with others, and it damages the relationships that we have with ourselves, the way that we see ourselves, our confidence, and who God created us to be. So Solomon has already been kind of talking about these two paths throughout the first couple of chapters. The path of wisdom and the path of wickedness. There's obviously a clear path that I think God, we would all agree, this is the path that God wants us to go down. But then there's also that path that's very clearly, God and Solomon both are saying, don't go there. You don't want to go down that path. This morning, if you have your Bibles, turn with me real quick to Proverbs chapter 4. These were the two verses that I kind of got camped out on this week. As I hadn't thought about this metaphor before or how it relates to our life as far as wisdom and this path of wisdom. Proverbs chapter 4, verses 18 and 19 says this, the path of the righteous is like the first gleam of dawn, shining ever brighter till the full light of day. But the way of the wicked is like deep darkness. They do not know what makes them stumble. I like that metaphor. I like the way that he talks about this path of wisdom essentially being a path that is lit by the sun. You realize now, I mean, I know daylight savings time is coming up in about another month or 3 or 4 weeks, something like that. But obviously, over the last couple weeks, it's like whatever time you get up, it's getting darker and darker, right? I mean, it's like, it just seems like just the other day, my body just kind of, I'd naturally wake up around 6:30 every morning, and I would wake up at 6:30, and it was already light up outside. This morning, I woke up at 6:30, and it was still dark. And so it happens. I mean, it's that thing. But what happens is I could go outside, and I could slowly start to see that sun rise. I know exactly where it's going to come up, where my house is located, where my yard, where I need to be looking, and I could slowly see that sun come up. That sun is not going to go from 6:30 in the morning to 3 in the afternoon right above my house. It's not going to do some massive leap like that. Instead, the sun is slowly going to rise, and my yard is slowly going to get brighter, which then through the windows of my house will slowly become brighter and brighter, till all of a sudden I can see everything. What I love about this metaphor and what Solomon is saying here, he's saying that is the way our path to God should be. That is what our Christian life should look like. Our growth, the things that happen to us, our progression on this journey should be like a sunrise. That sun is coming up. The path of wisdom slowly gets brighter and brighter and brighter. We may start down this path following God and have no idea where he's leading us. He may be leading you down a path of a new career, a new relationship, writing a book, starting a new hobby, doing something, right? And it seems dark. And so we may start to panic. We may start to worry. But if we know we're on the path of wisdom, that light of God is coming up like the sun on a sunrise. It is slowly going to get brighter and brighter. Before we know it, we're like, yes, I am exactly where God wants me to be. Because I can look around right now and the light of the world, literally, Jesus Christ, the light of the world is showing me what's in my life, where I've been, where I'm going, what I need to do. That is the beauty of this metaphor. That Solomon's saying, look, your Christian walk is not going to happen like that. It's not something all of a sudden you're going to wake up one day and you're going to have these crazy revelations and you're going to know exactly what you need to do and where you need to go and how to follow God and all these things. He's like, no, it's like a sunrise. It's coming up on this path and it's just leading you more and more and more down this path. But unfortunately, that's not most Christians, is it? I mean, I have more Christians than not that I've known in my almost now 25 years of full-time ministry are less like a sunrise and more like a meteor. They come to know Jesus, man, and they're all in. And they're like, yeah, and they're on fire. And then it's like they're gone. That fire burns out. And then they just kind of piddle through life the rest of the way. They still believe in God. They kind of have a relationship with him. They talk to him every once in a while. They may pray every once in a while. They may read their Bible every once in a while. But it's kind of like that fire that they once had when they first gave their life to Christ is now gone. And it's gone for various reasons. I mean, it just could be, you know, they were excited about Christ and excited, and they just didn't have the support system around them to keep that going. It may be because, man, they thought that if they gave their life to Christ in the next week, all their problems would be gone. All their bills would be paid and their relationships would be fixed and all this, and it didn't happen, and then they got discouraged. It could be anything. But way too often, Christians live their life less like a sunrise going down the path of wisdom and more like a meteor. It's there and it's gone. And then we wondered what happened. For others, we want to believe that we produce our own light, that we're enlightened. Or it's still a term for 2020, that we're woke, right? That all of a sudden that we know where we're going, we know what we should be doing, that we are now the light on the path. That it's not about God, it's not about where he's going or where he's leading us, it's about our light and our ability to light up that path. This past, just the other night, Jacob has a game camera, and it's one of these cameras that you kind of hang out in the woods and it takes videos and pictures, and it's something that he loves to do and Josh loves to do. And so they put in the memory card, and they'll go, and we'll take, you know, leftovers or scraps and kind of put them down this one little spot. And Jacob will put up his camera and pop in the memory card. The next day morning, he goes down there and gets it. We pop it in, and we see all kinds of stuff. There's deer, there's foxes, there's possums, there's raccoons. I mean, it's really cool to see just, like, what's out in our backyard every single day. Well, the other night, it got really dark. It was, I don't know what time it was, probably 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock at night, and probably 10, something like that. And Jacob was like, oh, I forgot to put in the memory card. He's like, and I was like, look, you ain't going down there. Like, it's too dark. Like, you won't go. Jacob's like, I'm going. And then Josh is like, I'm going too. I'm like, all right, have at it, you know. So I cut on the floodlights. It kind of lit up the backyard. And the way the floodlights are positioned, they'll light up about half of our backyard. And then it slowly gets darker and darker. And by the time you get to the woods, it is like pitch black. Well, I'll be honest, I've never paid attention to where this game camera is. Like, in my mind, I was thinking it was, like, right on the edge of our yard. Like I would be able to see them the whole time. And so, you know, Jacob and Josh, they throw on their shoes, they get the memory card, and they head out, you know, on this great adventure down to, like, do this. Well, I'm watching them, and Josh has this little flashlight. It's not great, but it's okay. And you can kind of see the flashlight going, and I'm, you know, watching them, and then I'm kind of like, it's clear. It was, like, full moon, right? And I'm like looking up at the sky and all these kind of things. Well, then I go, look, I can't see my kids anywhere. Like, it is like pitch black, and I'm like looking for this flashlight, and I'm panicking at this point. I'm like, where did they go? Where did they go? And you can ask Jacob. I was like, Jacob, Josh, where are y'all? And then they were like, they're yelling, what? You know, and I can hear them. I can't see them. And I'm going into like hyper panic mode because Beth had gone out of town with a friend of hers. And I'm like, this is great. I've just like sent my two kids, my two boys into the woods, never to be seen again. And Beth's like, I thought I could trust you for 3 days, right? I mean, those are the things that are going through my head. And I'm just like, get up here right now. And they're like, we're putting in the, you know, we're having this yelling match at 10 o'clock at night. But mainly because I was that scared helicopter parent. I couldn't see them anymore because they weren't in the light. And then slowly, all of a sudden, I saw this glimpse of the flashlight. And I saw them coming. And I couldn't see them, but I could see that little light. And finally, like as they started kind of getting into the yard a little bit more, it was the shadows were on them. But I could kind of make out their silhouette. And then I could kind of see them. And then they were in the light. And I'm like, why did y'all go in the woods? And they're like, well, that's where the game camera is, Dad. I'm like, well, I didn't know that, you know. But I was panicked. Because I couldn't see them. But to them, guess what? They were never lost. Not at all. And why did they think they were never lost? Because they had that little light with them that was lighting up just their little area. They had no idea that they were encompassed by an avalanche of darkness. That no one else could see them. That they could only see themselves. That they could only see what was immediately right around them. And that is way too often how we live our lives. That we live our lives with just enough light that it lights up the world around us and everybody else is stepping back knowing that that person is living in darkness. That what are they doing there? Like, come on out of that. Like, why are you in that addiction? Why are you in that toxic relationship? Why are you in that terrible job and career? Why are you in all that debt? Like, come out of the darkness. Come into the light. And they're like, what are you talking about? I can see, and they can, and we do see right around us. But it's not because it's the light of the sunrise. It's not because it's the light of the world that's lighting up around us. It's because we're trying to manufacture our own light in our own setting, totally oblivious to the darkness that's all around us. That is why Solomon talks about these two paths. That is why over and over again in these first four chapters, he lets us know very clearly there are two paths in life. There's not three, there's not four, there's not five, there's not a crossroads in life. There are two paths. Jesus talked about these two paths. It did not change when Jesus came to earth. Jesus and Solomon both taught there are two paths. There's the path of the wise and there's the path of the wicked. There's the path that leads to life. And there's the path that leads to death and destruction. That's the only two choices we have. And that is literally it. There's a scene in, I know it's in the cartoon version of Alice in Wonderland, where Alice gets to this kind of point in the road where there's a fork. And she's sitting there, and I can't remember what character is sitting there. Maybe it's the rabbit, Mad Hatter, somebody is sitting there in the middle of that fork. And Alice goes, and she says, which way should I go? And he said, well, where are you going? And Alice says, I don't know. And he says, well, then it doesn't matter which way you go then, does it? You see, we have to make that decision. We have to understand which way we're going. Because we are every single day we wake up, we're faced with that fork. The way of life or the way of death. The way of the wicked or the way of the wise. And we have to make that conscious decision. This is the path I want to go down. Because if we don't make that decision, somebody or something else will make that decision for us. Amen? And we will go down the path that leads to death, not the path of life. That is what Solomon is trying to teach us in these first four chapters. This is what wisdom is. This is where wisdom comes from. This is what you should be pursuing. This is how you acquire it. And when you have those things, it's easier to make that decision which path I should go. Let's pray. Lord, this morning I pray for wisdom. I pray that you give us wisdom in our lives right now. To understand that true wisdom doesn't come from us, it comes only from you. That Lord, we should be pursuing knowledge. and insight. That we should do everything we can to listen to your voice, to follow your voice, and to walk that path of wisdom. If there's any of us in here right now that could say, you know what? In my life, I'm going down the wrong path. Then, Lord, show them that your grace and mercy allows them to change paths. Maybe there's some in here that say, you know what, Mike, if I'm being really honest, some of my life is going down the life of wisdom, but there's other parts of my life that's going down a path full of death and destruction. And God, I pray this morning that you give us wisdom to know which paths are wrong and how they need to be adjusted. Lord, I thank you for this book. I thank you for not just the wisdom, but the way it points to Jesus in every single verse and every single chapter. Lord, I pray that we stop trying to light the path by our own light and we trust you in the light of the world. It's in your name we pray. Amen.